Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, September 5th, 2017. It is 2 p.m. This is the Legal Counsel Update. We're in the board's room, conference room, and we have Commissioner Morgan, myself, and Legal Counsel represented. Today we have status of public health on our agenda, matters from commissioners, the North Valley General Services District, and so I think we're ready to go with all the players. Commissioner DeYoung is here. Status of the public health programs.
I'd ask that we take item number three first, which would be the North Valley Service District.
Sure, sounds good. I know Mr. Graves says he's on his way. We have Mr. Brandis here. The reason that this is on here is that the it's okay. I think we can catch Larry up. It's not complicated. I really just wanted to have a quick board discussion about a conversation that Commissioner DeYoung and I had with the president of the council. The mayor wasn't able to attend, but Mr. Kubik last week about the North Valley Industrial Park, and just in the whole nexus was, how do we bring water to the airport? And are we able to do that? Does the city, are they receptive to that whole plan? And they said they were, that we just needed to make the airports or the properties we wanted to service part of the North Valley Industrial Parks District. So there's two districts up there, one we're in control of, one we're not, we're the board of. And so that's what I kind of wanted to just get in the queue, because it could take a while. I don't think it's terribly complicated, but at the same time, the best time to do it, to get all of the ducks in a row, let's just kind of move something forward. So, Mr. Brandis, you're really familiar with this. Yeah. Mr. Graves is really familiior with this, who just walked in.
So let's give you a couple.
We're just trying to
just a couple maps so we can kind of
get all on the same page.
Get their bearings. So this first map, this is one that's out of the North Valley Engineering Report that's at 95%. We've actually got the test we're going to be dug in about the next 2 weeks, which is kind of the final step that DEP says, yeah, the proposed area can take all of the wastewater to be treated and has enough room to disperse it there on the south end of the runway. So what you're looking at on that map there, you can see where kind of you got the nexus at Brookside and Monument. You got the red lines coming in from two directions, the blue from the other. So the project is proposing to extend the sewer from the pump station that the county has there at the industrial park west to the corner of the airport, and then kind of that hashed area on the south end of the airport is where the proposed drain field would be. So that's about 1,700 feet. Now, I'm going to send you one more. Let's just give you a little more detail so we can kind of get a better idea of what we're looking at. So then, following up on Commissioner Hare's item, doing a bit of investigating at this. Like I said, it's probably 1,700 feet or so to get us to the corner of Flaming Road. That's kind of that tip end of the airport there. Beyond that, it's probably another 3,700 feet to bring us all the way around to the front of the airport, assuming we're going to be running in the public right away out there. So, you know, you're about a mile. Big picture numbers, I would say $180 to $220 a foot to run water lines. It's a million-dollar project. It is not an insignificant amount. The city has an interest in doing it because they've got water out to the end of Delwood, which is one of the roads you can see kind of out there to the west. So I don't know how that whole negotiation, that's a ways down the road, but then you get into, you know, our SDC is waived or minimized. Is it a joint project? The other thing to point out would be if, assuming we have a project as a go with the sewage treatment, is there some bundling that can happen to save a bit of the cost on there? You're still going to be running lines on both sides of the road because you can't run sewer and water in the same trench. But I suspect there's some savings in having all the equipment loaded out there, all the traffic control, all that stuff. There's probably a bit, you know, call it 5 or 10%, nothing to sneeze at. But as we get closer to the one-stop meeting this fall to talk about granting agencies that would fund the sewer work, this project would certainly be worth bringing up at the same time to say, hey, does this change the math at all for any of you? I think they would have it as two separate projects on the IFA end of it, but they could also then be pushing towards the same end.
Rather than dig up all the roadbed and put all the roadbed down, can you drill that?
If there's enough,
because I'm watching these drilling outfits now. They step on one side of the road, 250 foot down the again, it pops up again, and they go again for another 300 feet, and they're done in a day. Whereas if you dug it, trenched it, you'd be there for weeks.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's an option, but the water pipe, they're going to want ductile iron, so I don't know if that's an option, because usually when you see the boring like that, it's, you know, gas lines, things that are flexible, but yeah, install cost per the city is about $200 a foot, so it's...
The big issue really to decide today is that we are receptive to the idea of including outside lands of the industrial park and you know, expanding that. Because if we can do that, then we can have the conversation. We can't have the conversation about bringing city water. Conversation sewer's already been had, but the water element needs to have the district expansion as step one, in my opinion. And really, when I'm suggesting that we expand the district, we don't really have, these are not district delineated maps here.
Correct.
You just have
just area maps.
I think that would be helpful for the board. I've seen them, but the board probably hasn't. What does the district look like out there? Mm-hmm. For me, I want to be probably comprehensive in looking at that. So we've got 5-acre parcels at the end of the runway. We've got 210 Tacoma. We've got some properties that I just want to make sure that we're looking at when we do it, everything that could possibly need or want to have a water element attached to it. For me, the fire suppression, just for example, at 210, we've got two 20,000-gallon tanks out there that we have to maintain. They've got a shelf life. They've got a maintenance schedule that's a pain. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just, you know, eventually, if it were a programmatic approach to running water out there? But then we'd have to say, you know, if the board didn't do it, you'd have to say, okay, well, now we have to include 210 in this thing, and you're doing it hodgepodge, as opposed to, like, what's everything that we could possibly want to include.
And talking with the City Public Works Director, we specifically said, let's go 12-inch. I mean, that's massive overkill for just the airport. Obviously, they would treat that as a main, so they would have tons of capacity.
Yeah, I'd think that we could probably actually size it appropriate if we did a comprehensive look at what would we ever want to provide for out there. So, and it's just, I didn't ask the question, but I think we need to, whether or not we're providing it from a municipal standpoint, or is it just a fire suppression element? So I think it's just a fire suppression element. It's just water on reserve, which really doesn't help them for using, turning over that 1 million gallons really very much. I mean, it doesn't help them if we never have a fire in 20 years. That's not using a drop.
It would be clean out once a quarter or something. That's
they
the
have,
we use. Yeah.
They do that at Paradise Ranch every once in a while. They just turn it on and flush it.
City's line would stay fairly clean because they have interest in bulk water sales, and the way it's going, it's not giving me any problems selling it up to keep things moving.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
I think the potential of the industrial growth would be that it'd be more than fire suppression. The immediate need would be fire suppression, especially as we have more commercial activity going in and out of there. We want to be able to deal with an emergency as it happens.
I just don't know if they have the ability. There's a restriction on why or how it can be used. And I remember when we were talking about, you know, that you can use it for municipal water use in those areas where there's not an alternative, like their wells are damaged.
We're at that point.
We don't have damaged wells at the...
Water lines.
Just not having capacity may not be...
It's not a capacity. Our pipes are failing. And we have to replace...
You're not picking up what I'm saying. It's the fact that the existing water access isn't there. So we've got... It's not the wells are failing. It's they're contaminated because of the old
dump.
You know what I mean? It can't... It's not... I don't...
Two different issues, I guess. So you're saying the airport had wells that are contaminated due to the dump.
No.
No.
Along... Is it Monument Drive? Those ones.
Okay.
Those people are able to access city water because their wells are contaminated.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't think that we can access...
That makes more sense.
Just because a well has gone bad, you dig a new well.
You have to dig a new well. If you don't get water, you don't get water. That doesn't mean that you're automatically able to access the city's water for municipal use. Mm-hmm. There's something there. I remember, and I don't have the details, but I think we need to check into
but
that.
If we have the infrastructure out there for standby, and it's a 12 or whatever it is, then there is some, it's there, and then it's up to the city to say, how can we get around this to where we can sell water? They're the ones that really need to push the fact.
Yeah.
It's them saying they won't sell the water,
right,
which makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever.
Right.
But that's their policy, not ours.
Well,
so
could
if
be
we can get that water out there
policy.
On standby tide, could be. I agree with Commissioner Morgan, that's what's going to make the airport and the surrounding areas, attractive, is because we do have water, we have infrastructure out there.
But there's an issue if we can't even run water if the sewage isn't there. So we have to have the sewage project moving along quicker in order to provide the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's got to be wastewater treatment before the water will be
only if you're able to use the water for municipal use. If it's just fire suppression standby, it doesn't matter. There's no nexus with the sewer.
Yeah. What about commercial?
That's the question that I wanted to make sure that we've...
Is commercial considered municipal?
I don't know.
Because there's a lot of commercial customers that would hook up if they could.
It's based on state land use stuff and allowing cities to serve outside of their incorporated boundary. That's the challenge. So we need to check into that. And the city's going to know. I don't think it's at their discretion. It's not a matter of whether or not they want to. I'm sure they probably say yes, because they just have, they're flushing that water. It's whether or not they can. So.
And that's what they need to work on in order to make that thing economically feasible. They have to sell water. One of the things that I was brought up is, we can't sell water outside of the city limits. And I said, then shut the car lock down out here on New Hope Road that you're servicing all the marijuana trucks with.
Yeah.
You're doing it. It's all your city water going out to all points in Josephine County via a truck.
Right.
So if you can't sell it to the airport, but you can sell it to growers.
There's got to be a way to figure this out. So
just grow in the airport.
Or that you don't have to put it in a truck and then take it 10 feet and then put it back in a system. That just sounds silly.
So what needs to happen in order for the...
Board just needs to endorse the idea that we want to look at expanding the North Valley Industrial Parks District, and then we'll sit down and we'll figure out exactly what those properties...
Does the district have a right to vote on the expansion?
Well, we are the district.
General Services Board.
We are the district.
Okay, so it's not district members have a say, I guess is what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know that we're looking at including anybody who isn't county-owned. So that's a good question. I don't know that I wasn't initially. I was thinking airport property and property the county owned.
The airport and the industrial park, but the schools, if we do this, the school district may say, but that's an issue they would have to take up with the city, not us, right?
No. In the order for the city to provide water to them, well, no, they're not in the North Valley. Paradise Ranch isn't in the North Valley Industrial Park, and they're being provided water. Yeah, you're right. I think it's up to the city. So why is it that they need us to expand the district in order to achieve this?
The district's more than just the park.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But there's two.
Well, the other district isn't really...
Doesn't matter.
No. So the North Valley General Services District, be interested to see an overlay of that on here because... at one point, it seemed like we looked at that, and it maybe didn't touch the airport.
No, it didn't.
So that's a problem. Not a problem you can't overcome.
Yeah, I was going to say the library did it.
The library started out that way.
But it's not a service. It is a service district.
No. The library started out as a non-contiguous district. This one didn't. But it seemed like there was only maybe one property in the middle.
What do you mean in the middle of what?
Well, we own...
Between
the two.
Like, our district goes quite a ways.
We have that road. I mean, we just have the road be... If it has to be contiguous, then we have the road. Roads in the district, which would make sense because we want to run infrastructure. Have to be included anyway. It's not as though we're having to ask ODOT for something. It's our... road.
We did look at it, though, and it does seem like it went way over, and for some reason I'm remembering that there was maybe just one or two pieces between the district and the airport.
At the most, I think.
Yeah, that weren't already in the district.
Okay.
For our next step, you want me to work with legal, at least come back with a map showing the district and a proposed expansion,
expanded
maybe,
boundary.
And look at, I mean... county stuff for sure, but there's other bigger industrial interests that are interested. it makes sense to just go down the road because, you know, the city's got this loop on their tiered system somewhere. Is it number 10? I don't know. But the more commitment we can show from the county or whoever else to say, hey, here's more water, it's going to go, it moves it up their list.
I would rather it start with a bigger area proposal, and then we find reasons to say no, kick them out.
Is there any part of the if I may ask a question, is there any part of the general services district that's in the city?
No.
It's completely outside of the city. Okay.
Yeah.
So there is a large portion of the existing general services district that's receiving city water because it's not municipal. Is that my understanding?
Well, the nexus for the service district, if I'm correct, was to provide them water. And then there's that general service district need to provide water to those wells that were failing.
Okay, so that is the municipal sort of aspect.
Kind of exception. Yeah. I don't know. Are people getting city water for regular use in the industrial park?
In the industrial park, yes.
So then there's got to be a nexus to be able to use it.
So I think the idea of expanding the industrial park straight down airport makes sense.
We've got some questions to answer, but I think we're right there. The question today was just, are you in favor as a board of moving it forward? Commissioner Morgan wasn't at the city-county meeting, so I thought that was important that we just have this discussion and that you all be in the loop as opposed to, you know, Commissioner DeYoung and I saying go ahead, but then you didn't know. So
I appreciate
as long as
that.
You're in the
Larry
loop.
Caught me up, though.
Good.
We'll
ask some questions, answer some questions, and bring it back.
And the question is just about how much time it's going to take to get through the process, because we have some immediate needs at the airport that we kind of have to address. How much do we spend to fix the water issues that we're facing right now?
I didn't bring that pipe with me. I have a 2-foot length of pipe that looks like a colander. Yeah, it's just
did you borrow it from Terry Haugen over next door?
Does he have one?
Same piece of pipe.
Those kind of situations, we're fixing the infrastructure now because you have a need now.
Yeah.
This is a.
Oh yeah.
History tells me this is a 10-year project. I hope this can be done in 3.
Yeah. There you go. And timing would matter because there are some sources of funding that I can access if I know when it's going to happen or have a feel for it.
That's the first task of the proposed contractor for this as a project manager. Give us a Gantt chart. Tell us what it's going to cost and tell us how long it's going to take to get these incremental points done. I think that's what's been a bother for Rob is he just, you know, we're getting this stuff done, but then what happens when you hand it off to somebody who...
Yeah.
We've talked about getting that project manager for
Arthur's
this.
Arthur's working on an RFP right now and hope to have a draft very soon using one of our other RFPs that we use for the Dimmitt campus. We just talked about it last week, so it's going to be coming before the board very soon.
And to Commissioner Morgan's point, the repairs that we need now, I would like to make sure that they serve the airport's needs, whether we're connected to a well or to a 12-inch main.
Right.
And have appropriate valves. And we, right now we have no valves anywhere in our system. I mean, it's on or off from the source, which is a challenge.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. Well, Ryan's kind of kept me in the loop on that. I think my initial questions have been all answered, and it's thumbs up to go ahead and get it done. I don't have any more on this one. I think if we're good, we'll revisit this as soon as we can get one of those maps put together.
We just need the one.
If we're good, let's move on to item number 1, which is status of public health programs.
Thank you. See you guys.
So,
I don't remember where we've been with this. Do you want to?
I will give you guys an update.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And Pat.
Thank
you. You guys want to join us? So a couple things going on as we were looking at the public health department as a whole and where things are going. One of the things, we had some kind of stages going on where with early successes, early easy moves that involved moving tobacco prevention and our community health workers under our treatment prevention manager and animal control officers potentially under the sheriff. That meeting is coming up on the 13th that we're going to be discussing the next stage for that. And the move for the other three, the first step was to be last Friday, September 1st. And one thing that I'm really appreciative of Sean taking on this role. Wasn't just like, okay, I'll get them on the first and we'll go from there. It was, okay, if I'm getting them on the first, I want to be prepared. So she's been reaching out to the schools, reaching out to All Care, making all these community contacts to see what do the jobs entail, what are the partners in place, what are the needs of the positions, so that when she took over as supervisor, she had a clear understanding and feet on the ground ready to go, so the transition would be smooth and we go from there, especially with school starting today. So in that process, we realize there's kind of some big issues with the community health program. The community health program came to Josephine County at the end of December 2015. All Care had too much money in their bank, and they needed to spend money. They hatched a plan with our former public health director to provide the county money to hire two community health workers to work in the schools, identifying risky behavior and for health needs and trying to help in that manner. Those positions were created. It was supposed to be a one-year program, and it was supposed to end January 2017. Here we are, September 2017, and to date, there was never a contract signed. A draft contract was proposed to the county, but it was never signed, so there is no contract in place for this program. We did receive the money from All Care for us to spend on the program, and I have a summary from Arthur of where we are spent year to date and how much money we've received and how much money is in the program and such. And so that was one issue of there's not a signed contract in place. The other issue...
When does the money run out? Or did they just
month.
Give us a lunch month, a lump sum and it's almost gone?
Yeah, we're out this month. But the other issue is it was supposed to be a one-year project. But again, with no contract being in place, it's kind of like, what are we even operating on? We got a handshake deal of $134,000 with no actual signed agreement or accountability in place. The other piece of it was there was a lack of management of the employees, so All Care stepped in to supervise the county employees and has been meeting with them on a weekly basis. And if their county supervisor has given them a task, they check with their All Care supervisor to see if they can obey their county supervisor. Now, granted, these two employees are county employees paid out of our payroll with our supervisors.
Paid for by money from
correct.
All Care.
But they are our employees. We have lots of county employees that the funding source is somewhere else. All of Community Corrections is paid for out of the state, but they are county employees. These are county employees who, when are given a task by their county supervisor, they check with All Care to see if it's okay.
I'm sure this is something you'd say, should say, JJ, that's your job, is that we're not evaluating the performance of any county employees here.
Nope.
This is a... The statement here really isn't an issue of the employees, it's an issue of the program.
I know, but Commissioner Morgan was bearing into that.
Yeah.
Evaluating performance, yeah. And that's really key that we're not doing that.
So,
because there's only two there, so it's not as though we're talking about a whole program.
They also, under All Care's direction, have been taking assignments in Jackson County that have nothing to do with Josephine County. And when Josephine County tasks have come up, they've been turned down so they can perform the Jackson County functions or the All Care functions. So we really met as a group last week. Cheryl was also there, but she's out this week, and decided, okay, what is the value to the county for having this program placed with the county? And we could not identify one. This was started as a favor to All Care. This was something that was supposed to meet a specific thing, and it never met that goal. The task outlined in the job descriptions has not been followed through by the county. And so really the question came up of why are we involved in a program that is serving no benefit to the county and really isn't our role to be in?
It sounds to me like All Care wanted to start a program, fund it for a year, and then assume that the county would, you know, the program is going to die and the county would pick it up and then it would go on forever. But shouldn't it have been, if All Care wanted this program, they should have made it their company should have said, we're going to have to community health officers, and that's a section of their company. They fund it year after year after year, set it in his hand and has a token amount for 1 year, and then they're not going to renew it, and they said they're not going to renew it. 34 or whatever?
Well, it wasn't a matter of renewal. We never signed a contract. So there's not a contract to renew. There's not a contract to cancel. There's no contract in place. So that's another issue that needs to be addressed.
Or get out of the business.
Well, and our recommendation as a group that met last week to the county is that we terminate this program. We believe that it is not best suited at the county. And we believe that it would... in contacting AllCare, they do not oppose us terminating the program. There's no contract to terminate because there's no contract signed. But with terminating the program, this odd interaction will end. But the desire is still to maintain a good working relationship with AllCare. It's just simply that this program doesn't fit with the mission of the county at this time and doesn't really fit in the needs of the county. And to continue a program just so somebody else can spend money isn't really in our best interest.
Great.
If you guys
sounds
have
good.
More to
let's
add.
Let's terminate the program. I do think that for audit purposes, Arthur and I might have differing opinions on this, but for audit purposes, I think you would assume if they're spending state grant dollars to fund through a county program, you'd want a record of a contract existing. I mean, it feels as though we should have one. And so until somebody tells me from an Arthur, from our auditor standpoint, that we don't need one, I think it would be a good idea to just have one on the record.
So this, I don't know if it was Friday and today, Arthur's office has looked into having a record of the transaction.
Yeah.
From AllCare's perspective, they're happy with what has transpired as far as a record.
They're fine.
But we want something more than that. And I believe that... our grant accountant has been able to compile some stuff so that we
so maybe we can have
exactly
a record internally without having to go get a contract. But
we do have a record of the budget summary. It was emailed to Arthur emailed it out to me and Cheryl today. As far as year to date, we have spent $125,000 at least through August. With the program as it is, we would like to terminate it with 30-day notice.
Sure.
But at the same time, with ending that program and not just having folks sit around, we want to just be done. And so potentially is just paying out the obligation of the contract with the, how do I say this appropriately? What's the appropriate way to say it?
It's not a contract. We're just going to end the program but give 30 days notice and...
let the money run out.
Yeah. And then the employees in question, what I would recommend is... give them notice tomorrow and just pay them their final check tomorrow and send them on their way.
Great.
And with that all unsaid and done, we may go slightly over the $134,000. AllCare has said that if we go over that amount, they will want to make us whole. But depending on what the board decided today, if they approve terminating the program, then we would contact AllCare to make sure the logistics are covered.
Great. Sounds good.
I'd say terminate.
Endorse the recommendation.
Awesome. I don't mean to say awesome. I just think it's the most appropriate for
right.
where
Thank
we're
you.
At.
It's not a bad program. It just isn't effective currently under our mission.
So what does that step take as far as effective
you've got board
tomorrow?
Approval. You can figure it out
okay.
afterwards. Sounds good. What else is on the docket?
Thank you.
I brought the board under matters from you have anything to add?
I would suggest, okay, still on the subject of public health issues.
Okay.
Now, we do have, five AllCare contracts and a
mm-hmm.
business associate agreement,
mm-hmm.
Some of which, please continue.
We have, I'm in the process of going through all the contracts to see what we have so far as our public health programs and what we need to do. There are five contracts.
Sorry, I forgot about this part.
That's okay. There are five contracts with AllCare. We have signed copies of all of them. There's a provider agreement for services under the state grant and an amendment which extended that for 1 year or through the biennium.
Yeah.
So that one, the contract termination date was June 30th with last biennium. So what we're going to do is do a six-month extension.
If this is what the board wants to do.
Yeah,
this is what we're
amendment.
Asking if you're interested in.
Sure. And use this with this biennium to line up with when the RFP will, or when the...
So you're extending it from January to June?
No, from July to...
Because the biennium started.
Correct, and we're outside of our operating contract right now.
Yeah. So we'll have it from July 1st through December 31st when the new stuff will
start. Great.
We also have
In the meantime, that's when the RFP is supposed to go out.
Right, right.
And
so that's the plan.
Should align.
Right.
Okay.
Great.
So there was, go ahead.
We have the same situation with a contract for dietitian and for training expenses. I'll do the same for those. There is also a contract for billing services and a related business associate agreement for under HIPAA. And the billing services contract terminates with just 10 days notice. So we'll give that later down the road. So that's the status on the all care contracts that we have right now.
So there was a report by our interim director that the contract books had been moved to another agency when they came back. The contracts with all care were missing. In our meeting last week, what we kind of summed it up is we wanted to make sure, do we have the originals with signatures, which we verified we do have. All contracts are public record, so therefore, essentially, though it's not good practice and we're going to discourage that from happening again, it is at this point no harm, no foul because we have the originals, so there's nothing that we've lost documentation-wise. With the board's approval, we'll be contacting Doug Flo and just touching base about kind of in this next 6 months relationship with public health that we do want to maintain a good working relationship with AllCare, but we also are concerned about fidelity and whatever the right word is for the RFP process, not having extra information by having staff inside the department feeding information back, and there was a concern about that. But we believe that they will be good community partners and will be able to handle it with a goodwill phone call.
Good.
Sounds to me like there's some gray area as to who works for who.
Well, we
you
have,
know, with the last one that we just closed out, that program closed out, but if it was within that program, who worked for who and who's given the orders, that needs to be clarified with all care.
There's still four employees that actually work for all care, are paid by all care, but housed at public health. So separate from the two that were in the program we just terminated, there's four additional, and those two work for the county. These four work for all care and are placed there.
Under whose guidance, when they're doing their job, who is their immediate supervisor? Is it all care because they're paying the bills and they've worked for them?
It is all care, but their assignment was to public health, so they work with the internal staff under the direction of the director. However, ultimately, they do answer to all care. So there's just a couple things we want to clarify as far as keeping some healthy boundaries and also maintaining good working relationships and intent of, as we're moving towards an RFP process, that we as a county are doing it as good stewards and being mindful that internal information isn't flowing back and forth, giving any one agency an advantage over anybody else. We want to make sure the fidelity of the RFP process is maintained. Is that a fair summary?
From my perspective.
So in that, with the four or five contracts, are we looking to terminate those or no?
At the end of the year.
In January, they will be replaced by the RSP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right.
I didn't know if that was a means to clean things up between us because I don't see that
problem. No, not until the end of the year.
You know, okay.
Yeah. Good. No, not at all. We do have the community stakeholder meeting on the 13th. Reserved the boardroom at the Guild building. We have some physicians that are going to be in surgery coming straight there, and so meeting at the south side of the river seemed appropriate to get people in attendance. Essentially, what we'll be doing is going through the public health matrix that was provided by Oregon Health Authority about the requirements that are provided and basically putting them out there as far as discussing the elements and giving them an opportunity to kind of weigh in, give some feedback. But then from there, the feedback we're receiving, we will move towards making sure that's incorporated in the RFP. So after that stakeholder meeting, the process would be to be going forward with the RFP.
Okay.
Then along the way, one other public health update is we're still needing to schedule. We're going to get scheduled now that JJ and I are both back at the same time. We're going to get scheduled the first round of interviews for the deputy director with the subcommittee. The final recommendations will come to the full board for decision.
Great.
Any other questions of where things are at? So timeline we're looking at, just to clarify, we've terminated the one program. The other program transferred to Sean on Friday, which was the tobacco prevention. On the 13th, we meet with the sheriff and team as far as animal control officers in the next phase. On the 13th, we have the public health stakeholders meeting and the feedback back to go towards the RFP. That meeting's at 2:30 on the 13th. And then also, JJ and I will get those interviews scheduled for the deputy directors. We are still aiming for a January 1st transition date if we can.
Cool. Anything else on this? We can move on to matters from commissioners. So,
see it for here.
Okay. I need to schedule the meetings with the two school districts. So I need the file on the construction excise tax that Pat has to review that. So I'm 100% up to speed before I go into that meeting to convey the board's position on not renewing the IGA between the three entities, which includes the city of Grants Pass. I did talk to Ryan. I need to follow up probably with Michael about keeping the element of the dollar a year lease back on the CJ building for communications. We may or may not be using that. Ryan says he's very confident we can move it, but it might be helpful for us to just keep it for a little while until we decide. I don't want to try to renegotiate access to it or keep it after. You know, let's just keep it for a year. It's only going to cost us a dollar. It takes us a while to figure out what we're going to do after that. I am looking at trying to set up a time to meet with a couple of stakeholders on communications and just a broad overview scope of what we could do to improve communications in the Illinois Valley. People are a little distracted right now, so it's a little challenging to try to find the right time and date. But Cameron Camp is the one I'm going to, Kenny Halk, and then there's Brian Hawken. He's up in the Merlin area, but he's really familiar with rural communication stuff. So those are the three, and then we'll bring a recommendation of what to do, maybe set up a formal task force and have somebody spearhead that. But there's going to be some resources there, and I think Cameron's doing some stuff. People are doing things out there. I just feel like we should all be pulling in the same direction and coordinating that.
Are you talking about the communications and stuff out there?
Yeah, I think internet service and telephone, some redundancy elements maybe with the provider out there. I know that there's a fair amount of time when I call out to even the ranch, it just rings busy. They have call waiting. It should never ring busy. And cell phone service is spotty.
There's problems that the service gets stuck in the valley, and the connection to outside of the valley gets severed.
Yeah.
In those cases, it's also not meeting the law's requirements for 911 notifications. Instead of getting the calls to the 911 agency here in Josephine County, they're forwarding those to the business line at the Illinois Valley Fire Department and not telling anybody the connection's down, which is a violation of the law. I have emailed Congressman Walden's office. He is on the FCC committee and asked them to assist because at a local level, we have not been getting anywhere with getting their compliance. But it's something that Chief Hoke had brought up as a concern, 911 agency brought up as a concern. And so from that standpoint, we're trying to see if there's a way that we can get some better response out of Frontier. The local boots on the ground folks understand and are very helpful. It's not their decision.
No.
So that's one of the things going on out there. But
that's all I have.
Do you have anything?
Well, we were talking, and I had talked to Kate Lasky, and we were talking about the community building and the sale of thereof, and that we were going to probably look into, you know, reallocating that money in the form of you know, internet service out in the valley and so on and so forth, you know, to upgrade that. And she said, she told me, she said, if you're going to do that, they would like to be a partner in a project, that the library might be interested in stepping in, you know, and helping with funding on such a project. So it's just something I thought I'd bring up.
Well, having their name associated with any kind of a grant, there is rural development money, and that's kind of what I was hoping we could do with this, these resources, is leverage them. Because $250,000 sounds like a lot, but if you're talking about millions of dollars of infrastructure, you need some seed money to get it started, and you know, so
it potentially could be a $50 million project to get fiber to the whole county. Mm-hmm. I mean, to the whole Illinois.
Well, there's fiber out there, which is crazy. There's one of the West Coast's largest coaxial cables. I've seen it. It's fiber's going through there. It's just getting people to that.
Kind of like our water situation going right by the industrial park.
Exactly. So
that's very similar. But she just reached out and said that if we're interested in doing something, that they would like to be a player in the room.
That's really helpful.
That's good.
Okay.
So I missed that AOC day, which is normally in Salem, is in Clackamas on Monday. And they're kind of just limiting to the legislative committee, which I'm not an official member of. So I've backed out of going on Monday. I asked them to pull the check from finance for me to go because I'm not an official legislative committee member. So as much as the trip actually looked interesting and looking at tours of the locks and everything up there in Clackamas, justifying being out of town when I'm not an official legislative committee member, I didn't want to do. So I thought I'd let you guys know I will be here Monday, and when I wasn't.
I was on the fence about it. I made a call, and I don't have a choice, apparently. So I have to go.
Enjoy. Yeah. It looks actually interesting. I personally would be fascinated by the trip. I just couldn't justify the expense when I'm not on. Anyone's welcome to go to the legislative committee, but I'm not an official member. And so, and that's part of being a new commissioner, is you're not assigned to those committees.
Yeah, I love it.
Is there anything specific for legal, and we can go into?
Yes.
Others? Okay, great.
So for legal is, if you guys get update, declaring an emergency memo, getting one ready to go if we need one at the end of the week. And while if possible, Jess, if you can get yourself versed and make sure you're versed in what all that entails, just so that if we get to that point, it's ready to go.
Yes, certainly.
And I know you have a form that has been bragged upon about being just editable and ready to go, but wanted to make sure that we're... that you guys are ready, so when that call happens, we will be able to get that going right away. We should have some time, but it could potentially come pretty quickly as well.
What's so, the latest? You went to that meeting out there today. What's progress of the fire?
Well, the good news is that the temperatures have come down a little bit. The wind direction moved, and so it's pushing the fire north right now. And so it really is kind of paused on the eastern front. We have new incident commanders coming in and setting up on the east side. They will be here tomorrow afternoon or tomorrow evening, and then they'll essentially Thursday will be the first meeting with the new incident command team on our side, at which point Lane Johnson and Chief Hoke and I just forgot Applegate Fire Chief's last name. It's Mike is his first name, but they're the Defense Board Chief and Assistant Chief for Josephine County. They will be meeting with the ops of the new team that's coming in and taking over so they can get the line in the sand pretty much decided upon, that when this line is reached is when conflagration will be declared. And at the point that conflagration is declared, it gets a different status with the state. The problem is current state conflagration is tapped out, where normally we would get all these services to us when that declaration is made. All those services that were come are already being used. So, but the new team is coming in. They'll be taking over as of 2000 tomorrow hours, 8 p.m. And then on the 7th, Grayback's burnback crews will be here. And the idea is the line that was the bulldozed area from the biscuit fire. They're going to back burn. And I know I see the eyebrow.
No, I'm fine.
But with the controlled back burn and those, the structural task force will be in line to help with that, to make sure it doesn't come back this way. They believe that will be the stop. They pointed out some areas that they were able to do some back burn, just three or four, and the fire came and hit it and stopped. So they believe that's a policy that they're going to be moving forward for the rest of it.
I had a longer. The reason I raised my eyebrow is that 3 days ago I was sitting down at the car shop with a friend of mine with a logger, and I said something about, yeah, they're plowing those. They got the cats out there making reestablishing those fire lines. He goes, when do they back burn? And I said, I can't answer that. And he goes, they don't back burn. He said, that jump fire jumped those cat lines before. Yep. You don't burn it, it's not, and give it no place to go.
Yep.
And that's nice that you said they were getting ready to back burn 2 days from now.
So the 7th, our back burn team will be in place. Mm-hmm. They did say that it would be help. They asked if I could continue to be their contact, so that each time they don't have to bring somebody up to speed. And I would like to make that recommendation. It's a language I understand and have done for 17 years. And if you guys are okay with me, keep going with it.
But it's really important that we are all up to speed.
Absolutely.
At any given
point.
Just
keep us because people ask us why you're gone. And
I'm going to try not to be gone until County College.
I like you being the eyes and ears.
Okay. It just, that press release that went out, it's even still, there's contacts coming in offering help all the way from Albany to Crescent City, which is just pretty cool. But they did ask that if you guys can have the forms ready, that if we get there, that we're ready to deal with that.
Sure.
So that was the last part of.
Great. Okay. Anything that's not legal in nature?
I'm meeting at 4:00.
Thanks, guys.
We can maybe move it up if we get done, but I'm going to be meeting with Luann Redding. And so here's what I've learned on face masks and fire air protection. The paper masks that you see people wearing that even have the little ventilators on them, those are not effective. They're short-term masks that require them to be fitted to the individual. If the person adjusts ever so slightly and it doesn't fit just right, they're useless, and they're short-term. That's why the county's not passing those out, because officially they're not being recommended as being effective to help. For county employees, we're kind of at a level that prolonged exposure could cause problems, but they reached out to OSHA, and essentially the level that would be helpful is respirators. For OSHA's concern, in order for respirators to be used by employees that have more than a half an hour exposure, we need to have them cleared by a doctor to show that their lungs are capable of working with a respirator now. So, to say the least, it's not just an easy, can we pass out masks? I've asked for some recommendations of a line to be made, and so I'm meeting with the public health and HR when we're done here, and so that we can kind of make a recommendation back to you guys on potentially it's either the decision of employees aren't working outside, well, some have to, so what do we provide for them? And there may be some expense to that. So if there's an expense to that, are we prepared for that?
That's fine. I think we need to do whatever we need to do to make sure that the employees are taken care of out there.
Well, it's not like deputies can stop responding to emergencies. No. Public Works, if something happens, they have to respond. So we have to make sure our employees are safe.
We have to make sure our employees are safe. So, okay. Well, good. I appreciate you checking into that. I knew that this is not something, you know, the crazy thing is that AOC should be providing some of this guidance. Every single county in the state should be dealing with this issue. There's probably counties that aren't conscious of it, and then they're going to find themselves having to do workers' comp claims, you know, in a week or so. As a result of lost work, and
you didn't even check on.
You didn't make these accommodations. You didn't afford employees the opportunity to stay out of those situations. You think you're saving? No, it's going to cost you more in the long run. These are things that AOC should be looking at.
Yeah.
I don't know whatever other things, that there's probably stuff that we are missing that I should probably just start going through the whole Rolodex of to potential, what are our county things that we should be thinking
about. We do have a policy, but it doesn't necessarily cover. We have an animal plan policy, but it's 114 pages long, and it's like, seriously, what do we need for now?
Well, there are elements in here, and so this is why I had Wendy put these together, and I think it's important that we just, they're great reference guides, one for you, one for
I get you. I'm a little slow, but okay. I'll pass along.
You've been out in the smoke longer.
I thought you wanted stereo.
No, well, just yesterday. I mean, literally going out to EOC, coming down. I mean, you're coughing. You're all of a sudden filling it. So I know our guys that are out there, guys and girls that are out there in it all day are filling it. So.
All right.
I should let you know, we sent all of our fire agencies in Southern Oregon have sent help to Cascade Locks. Their town is about to be in trouble. Mm-hmm. So even Illinois Valley that's fighting this had to send help. But before they did that, they determined what help can come from Southern Oregon, still make sure they're covered. And there's still Strike Team 2 available to come and back them up for anything. So it's really amazing to see the community, those agencies all work together.
Yeah, they do a great job.
I did talk to Applegate Fire Chief, and he says they believe they're on the better end of getting control on theirs. And he, like I said, they took the time to come out for the meeting out there today, and so they're still committed to helping us out.
I was really surprised to see the two National Guard Chinook helicopters out at the airport the other day during the car show. I was wondering why they didn't fly. I asked the guy, there's smoke bothering those engines. And he goes, no. I said, then why aren't we in the air? And they were just told to stand down because of visibility.
Yeah.
And the airplanes, they did get infrared last night. Well, they had to use a military plane.
The thing is that if you do the back burn, you think it's bad right now. It's really going to be bad during that situation.
And they said this
depending
fire
on which
is,
direction the air goes.
Yeah.
Somebody made noise today at lunch that there's a possibility of rain or showers on Tuesday through Thursday type thing. Possibility. But if they have any kind of moisture at all, and even a dew at night will knock that, that'll help out tremendously.
This fire has not been acting in normal conditions. We're normally at night when it gets cooler. They've been having, yesterday morning, the other night it was 10 o'clock or 12 o'clock at night, the weather station in Medford contacted the incident command and said, there is a plume on our radar, and it doesn't normally happen at 10 o'clock at night. Yesterday it was at 4 a.m., a plume showed up on the radar. These are normally cooler times, not times for flare-ups and fires. And it's so big a flare-up, it's coming on the weather map as a plume 10,000 feet high and ash raining down on their tent. It's still putting out on the west side. It's still putting out hot spots a mile out. And so the resources are still over there, but it's still closest to Selma. And so they, you know, it's just weird behavior. For now, we're monitoring as they're trying to go there as we're getting resources moved in the area.
Okay.
I still go back to when it was 2 acres that should have been put out. That's fine.
We all say that. Every fireman there today said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we think they'd learn, but, you know, there's new people all the time, like we have with the BLM. Our person is the longest serving in the state, including the director. Out of all the district managers, they don't know. Mm-hmm. So
you do now.
Yeah, pretty unfortunate. Well, thanks for reaching out to them, Commissioner Morgan.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So maybe we should evaluate our schedule when we have an incident that we have a point person assigned to those things. It's just really important that that people don't get burnt out. And you might start thinking about when you're communicating with Sarah, the call center issue for me is a big decision with the duration of this time that we're going to have a lack of resources available. Once you set up a call center, you don't take it down until, in my opinion, until it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And so unless, you know, with a little bit of people that are affected by the Illinois, wait almost as long as possible. The stuff that you put into place already, I think, will be incredibly helpful. But I just that this could last all the way through September. Who knows if it doesn't rain?
We get to evacuation 3. We're going to open up phone lines for people to call for information. But again, the Illinois Valley has 5 checkpoints that they are going to be responding to get the information of where to go.
Right.
We'll have the volunteers kind of like a an incident command of sorts, instead of needing the whole EOC, we'll have that function going at the fairgrounds and potentially could put phones at the fairgrounds as well to meet that need instead of having to open up the EOC in Merlin. But it is something we're specifically looking at which point would that... We actually have to have information to give out, and right now that's not where we're at, so there's not a need yet to open that call center. So we're going to prolong that as long as we can, but if the need arises and there's information to give out, we will open that up.
Okay. Sounds good. Glad you thought about that. Okay. If there's nothing else, board's adjourned. 2:55.